I've covered some big stories, and I think about the stories I've covered in my career, the loss of the space shuttle Columbia, Hurricane Katrina, 9/11. This one, it stands above them all, right? There's no more important story, and particularly for a person who for the past 30 years has focused on science and where science intersects with the public discourse. You know, it occurred to me that maybe something like a pandemic, we could set aside politics and once again embrace scientific reason and what our experts tell us. When this first started unfolding in our country, I saw two narratives. I saw what was happening in Washington, D.C., and then I was very curious about where it all began here, the state of Washington, and how it happened here. And there was this divergent approach to how to deal with the pandemic, the level of preparation, which became the basis for the film. And everything that I've seen has just escalated and not really changed the narrative at all. And it really goes to a key point here that, you know, when politics and ideology clouds, you know, reason and facts, you end up in trouble. And this is that story in spades.
How do you break that down? Do you break that down twofold? You go with the science and then you look at the politics involved? Or do you look at the approach and the history of knowing how to deal with a pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, I think you should always start with what Mother Nature and science tells us and our best understanding of that, particularly when you're dealing with something like this. If you begin with the idea that ideology tells me that this is something else, that's going to be trouble. You know, the famous New York Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan said, you know, you're entitled to your own opinions, you're not entitled to your own set of facts. And there are facts out there that we must listen to, and exponential growth of a disease that we don't have immunity to is not something that politics will change. Mother Nature always bats last, and to ignore that, we do so at great peril. And somehow, whether it was climate change or somewhere along the way, when politics got involved in science and when science affected the bottom line of some big corporations who had a lot of influence in Washington, science was discounted. And this is not the time to be doing that. It is literally costing lives.
This is the movie nobody has wanted to live. And yet we know that there has always been the possibility of a pandemic. The World Health Organization has been taking its shots lately. What is the proper response? And we've seen different responses from China to South Korea to how Europe has handled this. What approach works best? What do we know?
Well, it's important to think ahead, right? And it's important to recognize these things as soon as possible. Of course, the nature of an outbreak like this is, by the time you see it for what it is, it's pretty far down the road. Because of exponential growth, it's hard to get ahead of them. But you can do things. And there were things that were on the shelf and planned and ready here in the state of Washington, which were employed. And there were smart people who wanted to get testing going sooner, for example, who had ran into all kinds of bureaucratic tangles at the federal level, making it impossible for them to move faster. It's important to recognize these things and move quickly because things double every day or every minute, if you think about it. And it, you know, we didn't get good information from the Chinese. We still don't really know the full extent of what happened there, the data that we got out of there. All that is true. And it set us behind. But there were a lot of indications that the experts were seeing early on, which caused them great alarm here, which really were not heeded by political establishment. And that's the real crux of the problem.
So the response in Washington state compared to the response in Washington, D.C.?
Well, you've got, first of all, an extremely smart and sophisticated medical and technological infrastructure here with, you know, companies like Microsoft and Amazon. The University of Washington has a lot of smart epidemiological people. And so they were very attuned to this. Couple that with the fact that the travel patterns to Asia are, you know, very well worn to Seattle. So they knew that they were, if it was going to start in the United States, it was going to happen on the West Coast and Seattle would be in the firing line. So they were looking for this very actively before it ever was found. And so in some ways, it began here because they were looking harder for it. And so when that patient number one occurred in mid-January, they were primed and ready. They had 3 weeks prior to that patient arriving at the hospital in Everett where he was treated, 3 weeks prior, they had done a full-up pandemic training scenario, complete dress rehearsal for what would unfold 3 weeks later. So they were thinking about this, and we can't find much evidence that at the federal level, they were doing similar things.
Why is that?
You know, it goes back to what we were just talking about, science and its role in public policy. You know, if somebody smart and accomplished like Anthony Fauci is telling you to do something and you ignore it, the bureaucracy does not respond. And so we had a bureaucracy that was slow to respond to a fast-moving and lethal threat. And the state of Washington, the states in general, they're limited in what they can do. This is, after all, a global threat. This affects everybody. And as a result, it is logically something that the federal government needs to lead the charge on.
This is going to air in, let's call it, a day and a half. You are still editing as we speak, you and your team. What is the latest? What do we need to know about testing and how we reopen the economy? Because that seems to be the focus of everyone's attention right now.
Yeah, testing, testing, testing. This is, you know, this is something that we needed early on to help stem the pandemic. That's in the category of history. We didn't get it up and running quickly enough. But as we march forward and think about getting back to our lives, there is no scenario that allows us really to get back to the life we lost a little while ago that does not include broad-scale mass testing. It has to happen. We have to know who has it, who's had it, who's safe to go to work, who needs to stay at home. All those things are essential. And if an outbreak occurs again, we need to be able to identify it quickly so that we can put a ring around it. All of that is essential right now. And in order to do that, the federal government has to step in. This is something that requires supplies that the states just don't have the capability for. The state of Washington is as aggressive on this as anybody. The state health lab here can process all of 300 COVID-19 coronavirus tests a day. The University of Washington Medical School, they're up to about 3,000 a day because they push so hard. But that still does not answer the requirements to get us back to work. And things like these swabs, which nobody can seem to find right now, the testing reagents, all these things can be done and built in this great country of ours with its manufacturing capability, and all it takes is the stroke of a presidential pen to do it. And President Trump is moving in this direction, but the accusation among governors, Inslee leading the charge, Governor Inslee here in Washington, is that he's been too slow to use his authority to have industry mobilize to answer this threat.
Any indication why the president has been slow to move? Other than the science, is there something else going on?
Well, you know, it's interesting. It's hard for me to, sitting here in Seattle, to really assess this. But I do find it interesting that a president who goes before the White House press corps and says he has complete and full authority is reluctant to use one of the areas where he has complete and full authority, which is the Defense Production Act. And he's used it a handful of times in the case of responding to this threat. But is it aggressive enough? That's the open question. That's where the governors would tell you, we need to do this faster and we need to do it now. Again, pandemics, they spread exponentially. It's almost, the human mind doesn't really think exponentially. It's hard to imagine how quickly this is happening and how precious time is.
What do you know about the development of vaccines or treatments at this time?
They are moving as quickly as they possibly can on the vaccine front. And there's probably about, I think there are three studies that are moving into the latter stages of their phase one trials, which is the safety part of it. That's good, but that's as fast as they go is not probably fast enough for our taste, right? We're talking at least a year before we have a vaccine. And I'll be honest with you, this will not be over until there's a vaccine. It's as simple as that. We're going to be dealing with it. It's going to surge back up again, and we're going to have to deal with this along the way. In the meantime, some of these antiviral therapies that are being considered, this one remdesivir, which we've been looking at, which apparently had some, at least anecdotally, some help and effect on patient number one here. And in subsequent cases here in the Seattle area, they're seeing indications that it works to slow the progress of the virus. That trial is underway. That's something that could be out and in the real world, you know, much faster than a vaccine. But in the meantime, all we've got is staying home and staying apart from each other. And the pressure to get outside and get out of the confines and get back to work is strong and it grows. But that impatience will, the experts tell us, will lead us to exactly the situation where we were in before. We'll have, come July, a repeat of what we just saw with the surges of cases in New York and here in Seattle and elsewhere. And we don't want to do a replay. And that's just going to have even greater consequence to the economy. It's better to stay the course and listen to the science, listen to the experts who know what they're talking about in this, and just ride this moment out, and we will get through it. But to ignore it and to allow politics and ideology to guide us through this is a very dangerous thing.
The Frontline Special Report is called Coronavirus Pandemic. Miles O'Brien, thank you for telling this important story, and I truly appreciate your time.
You're most welcome, Patrick.